Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
How do you like us now? Dan Wilson, Kyle Quinn, in for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas. One more day until they return on Monday, January 6th. Kyle, sometimes you work in, you know, here at WIP or in the sports radio industry. Yep. Well, sometimes, what I was going to say is sometimes, yes, you work here all the time. But sometimes there are weeks where, you know, the shows are doing different things. You know, the morning show's got one thing, midday's another, afternoon's another, because there's not one clear-cut topic.
No.
This week, there was a clear-cut topic.
Oh, was it?
Phones, yeah, there were.
Oh.
The phones have been hefty and full all week long.
Yeah.
Did it bother you just a little bit that, like, the show was off all week?
So, not necessarily, because we did come in Monday.
You did get a little bit,
yeah,
Monday.
And we got right to the chase. Like, we didn't really react to the Cowboys game, win.
By the way, I don't know, like, the perfect storm. I don't know if there's ever been a win over the Cowboys. I said this to Rob Ellis. I'm like, if I told you, 90s Rob Ellis, that the Eagles will clinch the division with a win over the Dallas Cowboys, and the next day no one will care about the game because they're just worried about something else. He was like, I would tell you that you're making it up. There's no scenario that could ever happen.
Yeah.
We found it.
Yeah.
We found it. A guy going for the rushing record, the Cowboys stink, everyone expects him to win the division. Perfect storm.
Yeah, and this was kind of one of those weeks where we all came in Monday and we were like, there's no mistaking what the question
what the topic is
now.
And that carried from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday we get the news to Thursday we're reacting to the news.
Yep.
It's been, you know, one call after another, one show after another, all talking about the same thing because it has so much steam, because people are so passionate about
it. And I will say, so, while I do like coming in all the time, and I love talking to the beautiful people that call into the show, sometimes when you reach like day three or four of
the same thing,
talking about the same thing, there's no new rhetoric. It's the same points over and over and over again.
Sure.
And you know what they are, and you understand the validity to both sides, and then it almost, like, I don't know. Like, I at least came in today, and when talking to you,
you're fired, like, up today. This is your first chance to get it off your chest.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to sort of, I was hoping that we would be able to sort of look forward now, right? Because I understand this game against the Giants isn't meaningful, and we got the Band-Aid ripped off by Nick Sirianni, yesterday, about Saquon not playing. So, well, we could have came in here today and mourned the entire time, or at least I would have been, that Saquon's not going for this rushing record. I do like the fact that, obviously, it's out there, and I appreciate the fact that people want to react to it right now, but I'm ready to kind of spin it forward. Let's talk some postseason football, man. We've got an opportunity.
Well, in just 1 minute, we will address a report from Jeremy Fowler this week about what Nick Sirianni needs to do in the postseason to keep his job secure. You won't want to miss that. But we say good morning first to Chris in Middletown.
Uh-oh.
What's up, Chris?
Happy New Year, man.
What's up?
Hey, just wanted to get in and talk about this great preseason game that we have going on. this weekend.
It's like the final week of the preseason, just tuning up for the playoffs.
A must win.
Some are saying it's a must lose, actually. The Giants could drop as low as 9 if they win.
Yeah, well, they're dopes. They won last week.
They could be bigger dopes if they win again.
I hope they do, because they're that stupid. Hey, guys, you know, I'm glad to hear Kyle's riding high in the plant-based seat today.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you there,
big
Kyle.
Shoes to fill.
I'm sitting in the vegan chair. Yeah. Vegetarian.
Yeah, eat some meat while you're there. Kyle, you know what, though? Sound the alarm, Kyle. Guys, I got to be honest here, right? You got to start the new year off with facts. So I'm always about facts. Kyle knows this. The engine light and the bus, it's flickering. And the hopes and dreams, they may go up in smoke. I'm very curious. This whole Saquon thing had me obviously a little perturbed and upset that he wasn't going to go for the record. That's a shocker. But do you think that if Jalen was healthy, they would have played Saquon for the record? Because I'm starting to think that because Jalen's health is shaky and in doubt at this point, and we know he's going to be rusty, so all of this is 100% fact-based today, that he needs to play to kick off some of his rust.
So
if he was healthy, do you think they would have let Saquon
Chris, I'm a no for a couple of reasons. Number one, I understand the correlation you're drawing between you already have Hurts, you know, risky, his status is a little risky, that you don't want to risk another guy in Saquon Barkley. But to me, the Eagles have always been about resting their guys. It's why they don't, at least super recently, they don't play their guys in the preseason. Last year, they played A.J. Brown at the end of the year, which wasn't an entirely meaningless game, but it turned out to be, and they got hurt. They haven't had a bye since week 5. I just think this is the Eagles type of mindset of, we go for Lombardi trophies, we try and rest our players when we can. And even if Jalen Hurts was 100% healthy, I think he would just be on the rest report with the rest of them.
I tend to agree. I think the Eagles just sort of apply that same logic that if Saquon Barkley is too important to risk in this game, then they would apply that same logic with the quarterback.
So then why wouldn't they apply it for Jalen? And here's my problem with that, Ben. I agree with that. But then Jalen does need to play, because Kyle, you've said this. He hasn't played really much in the past month. If we roll into the playoffs and we get kicked out week one, which I feel like it's like the Phillies season all over again here, we got these high hopes and they're about to come crashing down. It's going to be one and
Negadelphia again.
If that happens, you know what? Nick is going to hear starting to pick up in the background. It's a little bit of a boy band warming up that's getting ready.
Chris, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we're going to address that in just one second here. But first, give us something that's long overdue, like a snowstorm.
I got something that I know Kyle will 100% agree with, and I think it's time for the fan base of this show to finally hear one Hugh Douglas take the airwaves for an entire show and apologize and say how wrong he is with his ridiculous take that defense is a luxury. It's time to give it up to you.
I agree.
We appreciate the call.
Chris. Yeah. Hugh's been, it's been unfortunate to hear a man die on a hill
so hard,
so stubbornly.
A once well-respected football mind.
So and love Hugh, obviously. He will just not ever...
He digs his heels in.
Well, first of all, he won't even say, like, if you just say, Hugh, like, defense, not looking like a luxury, he's like, yeah, they're playing well. It's such like a filibuster.
Yeah.
Like, he just totally tries to deflect off of the topic, and my favorite part about it is that he insists that he was right for a time, that defense was once a luxury, and I kept trying to explain to him, Hugh, like, last season they sucked in large part because their defense also sucked. That would,
correct,
by nature, make it also a necessity then. So this didn't just change. Like, he wasn't just proven wrong this year. This has been an uphill battle for Hugh for quite a long time.
He got proven especially wrong this year.
And
when they're in a playoff game and this team starts out slow, guess who's going to bail them out? That defense.
It's going to be the defense. And I think we should all, now, when we get back on the airwaves next week, I think we all need to start pressuring Hugh to still dye the beard green, even though he did technically win his bet this season.
Oh, yeah, so remind me the parameters of this bet.
Okay, so if the Eagles' defense allowed 17 or fewer points per game by the season's end, Hugh would have to
By regular season's end.
Yes, regular season's end. Hugh would have to either shave the beard off
or settle in. We settled in on something that was a little more palatable for Hugh. Dyed the beard green, and I think that's a more fun thing for you know, listeners.
For radio,
Like, you know, his beard's green, like the pictures of that will be hilarious. Not that babyface Hugh wouldn't be funny, but a guy with that, you know, that big beard dyeing it green, that would have been awesome. He did win the bet. The Commanders sort of put that one to bed when they put up 36 points on the defense. The average got thrown off. But we do need to continue to put pressure on Hugh to do it anyway.
Well, so here's the question. I'm not a math major, but you could figure. So the Eagles are currently allowing 18.1 points per game. Has anyone done the math? If they theoretically pitched a shutout against the Giants on Sunday,
Look, that's out there.
You remember the Eagles lost a 6-0 game to the Cowboys the final week, the Super Bowl year. Like, let's say the Giants just run it right, run it left, run it right, and they bring this average down.
Yeah.
I know it's a meaningless game, but it's still the regular season.
So we're not notoriously very good at math on this show.
Okay.
Maybe Caleb, during one of the breaks or something, can check the math for us, or one of the callers wants to, someone on Twitter.
I can do the math in the break, yeah.
All right, good. Big brain over there.
Well, it's not that hard. You add up all the defensive total. All right, Kyle, we got to get into something here, which is that there is a national report floating out there this week from Jeremy Fowler, right?
Yep.
That if the Eagles do not win the wild card game, if they do lose, if maybe Jalen Hurts looks rusty, maybe the defense doesn't play their best game, if they get picked off first round in the wild card round by a team like the Commanders, like the Packers, that Nick Sirianni's job is not 100% secure. I'm going to read you an excerpt from this article. It said, Sirianni's 47-20 record is impressive, yet his standing was a talking point coming off a tumultuous 2023 campaign, and he doesn't have a contract extension in place. His contract goes through 2025, by the way. The sideline and on-field spats are sort of hard to ignore. Any firing here would be a sizable upset, but if we're talking surprises, this would be one to the list because his status was a regular debate less than 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. Kyle Quinn, if the Eagles lose, and again, we don't know how it would look, but if the Eagles lose the wild card game, is it fair to discuss whether Nick Sirianni should be brought back next year?
Unfortunately, it is fair. And so just to preface this, Jeremy Fowler is not the first person to sort of hint at this or be on this. I think Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, not too long ago brought up the fact that, like, the same thing, that Nick Sirianni's job status can be in jeopardy. I'm not sure if he said in the wild card round if they get bounced or if they just don't make a deep playoff run in general. So I guess, Buzz, this is a good opportunity for me to reveal, I would say, sort of a change in my Facebook relationship status with Nick Sirianni.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Because noted big Nick Sirianni guy.
Yes.
I've been saying they should give him an extension. I thought he did a fantastic job this season coming off of last season. I am not getting divorced off my Nick Sirianni take, to use relationship analogy, but I will say we're not currently on speaking terms. I'm sleeping on the couch right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'm very disappointed in his decision to rest Saquon Barkley. I think he robbed the fans. I think he robbed the team of something that would have been one of the coolest things that we would have here as Philadelphia sports fans. I understand, and you know, I talked about this ad nauseum Monday. Everyone's been talking about it all week. But I was never of the mindset that, you know, what if he gets injured and then the Super Bowl screwed? Like, screw that. We could have had both. He could have gotten this record and we could have won the Super Bowl. I think this would have been awesome for Philadelphia fans to have your name etched to Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley, on a rushing record that was 40 years old. Like, I'm very disappointed in the fact that, I mean, especially after hearing from Saquon, hearing some of the players on the team, Jordan Mailata, and, you know, I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting right now, but Saquon especially, they seem bummed. And
he did seem bummed.
He seemed really bummed. The hood up, man.
The hood up, kind of somber. He looked like a high schooler when he just got, like, broken up with or something outside his locker.
And I heard Landon Dickerson on the Players' Lounge on Monday. He was talking about they weren't really going to push for Sirianni to do this. I'm very, very disappointed that they robbed the city, the fans, and Saquon of the opportunity to go get this rushing record. And just to sort of wrap it into the Sirianni thing about his job status, the expectations this season have changed pretty drastically. I mean, we didn't go into the season, I think, you know, with a consensus that the Eagles were going to be the NFC's champs, that they were going to win 13 games, right? I saw some 9-8 predictions, 8-9 predictions, and I think, you know,
10-11,
sure, besides the total homers that would say 15 wins, or, you know, the Jack Fritz of the world that had 16-1. Which,
by the way, he's going to end up being the closest.
Yeah, I know you're right. But, you know, I think the general consensus was maybe 11, 12 wins and a shot to win the NFC East, right? The Cowboys ended up becoming totally off the track on that. So the Eagles ended up winning the NFC East, and now we look like we're one of the top teams in the NFL just based off the way the defense is playing, Saquon and everything. The expectation now has to be, and the devil's going to be in the details, how they lose, this and that. But I think the expectation has now changed, and I think just hearing the buzz around, you know, what Fowler said, what Mike Florio said, they're getting this from somewhere. I think there might...
It's not made up. This is
sure,
their opinion. They're connected.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's a thought within the Eagles organization that with what they have right now, if they don't end up winning the Super Bowl or, you know, making a deep playoff run, say they do get bounced in the first round, you know what Howie, Jeff, all of us are going to be thinking. Do we have the right coach to maximize? Because let's be totally clear about this. This is a very, very talented roster. They're young, all of that.
Arguably the most talented in the league.
Absolutely, and we didn't really expect them to be quite this talented. You know, with all the young players, the rookies, the one-year deal guys, all of this and that, you know Howie and Jeff are going to look at this and say, you know, you never know how long your window is to win in this league. And this is one of their better opportunities. I'm going to do a little bit later what next year looks like and all of that with their schedule. But this is a huge opportunity. And I think if they don't capitalize and they don't win, they're going to be looking within and saying, do I have the right coach to get the most out of this talent? I think it'll be totally fair to discuss whether or not Nick Sirianni should be back next season.
So I could not disagree more with like 95% of what you just said, right?
This is unbelievable.
If they get bounced in the first round and Nick Sirianni coaches like the worst game of his career, sure, it's going to be on the table, right? But barring something catastrophic and maybe the worst coach game of his career, I think Nick Sirianni absolutely needs to be back next year. And this is coming from someone who was very critical and skeptical of Nick Sirianni all season long. This is a guy who I think pretty consistently, more so earlier in the year, makes bad clock management decisions. He makes poor, like, go for two decisions. Like, not really. I understand they get down to the one and then he doesn't really take into account the score, how many possessions he's going up. Seems to struggle with a lot of that. This is a team who comes out slow each and every week. How prepared are they?
Yeah.
That is all fair to question. The outbursts on the sideline are a concern for me as well. But at the end of the day, Nick Sirianni actually feels to me like he's grown as a coach this year. He, each and every week, feels like he gets a little bit better. Sometimes he overcompensates but finds the middle ground. It's something small, but last week against the Cowboys, Kenny Pickett's running to the locker room and maybe this forced this decision. But remember, the Cowboys jumped off sides on an extra point, and then they could have gone for two from the 1 yard line, and he still decides to take the extra point to make it three possessions. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a little thing for me that says this guy's growing, he's learning from his mistakes. Did it take him until year four to do it? Fine, whatever. But the players also love him so much. I cannot imagine that even if they lose in the wild card round, this, we already know that the players are not in love with this decision to not play Saquon. Now you're really going to, you know, cause a little bit of a stir in that locker room if Nick Sirianni gets fired. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to give them a contract extension right now. That's probably, you know, proceedings you wait for the offseason to do. But Nick Sirianni coaching for his job in this wild card game just puts an unnecessary cloud over his head. If you were actually to dismiss him from the team, now you're going to try and find another coach who the players like as much. We already know that the power structure of this organization is the GM, Howie Roseman, has most of the power anyway. I tend to believe that's where this decision came from. Mm-hmm. I deep down think Nick Sirianni probably would have wanted to go for this record, but the fact that he stood up there like a man, said, no, we're going to rest some guys. We're going to try and hold out for the playoffs. We're holding out for the Lombardi Trophy. Whether he deep down agreed with it or not, whether deep down it was his individual decision or not, I actually think we've seen more decision-making maturity from Nick Sirianni as the season has gone on. He has proved to me that he's the right guy for this group and this power dynamic within the Eagles organization. I have a hard time believing that even if they lose this game, he has not done enough this regular season. Think about all the tests he's answered.
Yeah.
Think about every single time. Like, you know, if Nick Sirianni's going to be the guy, he's got to go beat Sean McVay or Harbaugh or Tomlin or, you know, the Rams, Ravens, mm-hmm. Steelers. And every single time there's been a test, he's checked the box. He has done enough in this regular season where there was a legitimate cloud over his head after the way last year ended. He's done enough in this regular season. I know that's not where championships are won. No. I know we're all going to talk about what happens in the playoffs, not the regular season, but he's done enough this year in this regular season to prove to me that he's matured as a coach, has completely won this locker room over, and that firing him would be absolutely the wrong decision, even if they lose.
So, and I know, and look, this is hard for me because this is coming from...
I know, you're a big Nick guy.
I'm a lifelong Sirianni guy. I agree with you. He's done a fantastic job this regular season. And this is, because we do this a lot with the record, right? Quarterback wins. We do it with Jalen. We do Sirianni.
But head coaching records...
I completely agree. Yeah. I think a head coach, like if there's...
What else are you supposed to grade him on?
Well, here's another one. I'll paint a picture for you. Because what is he, the regular season, like 45 and 20 or something?
47 and 20, I think I said.
Outstanding win percentage. Say they get bounced in the first round. His win percentage in the playoffs all of a sudden becomes a major question mark. He's 2-4 at that point, right? And the two wins, I could argue, are against Daniel Jones and the ghost of Josh Johnson slash Brock Purdy with the 49ers. So... that's not exactly a very decorated postseason record. And with
the, no, it's not.
And this decision the Eagles just made told you what their focus is in this postseason, right? It's not about making fans happy for, you know, the short little highs, right? It's not about getting Saquon this record. This is about winning in the postseason, winning the Super Bowl. So I think by them doing that, Howie and Lori have set the expectation now for Nick Sirianni that you have to go deep into this postseason. You need to make this matter.
So let me ask you, let's say they beat the Packers round one, they lose in the divisional round. Is he safe? How far is far enough?
Yeah. It's where it's difficult because the Devil's obviously in the details. It's going to, you know, if they lose a hard-fought game to the Lions or something or the Vikings, the second round, I don't know, right? I can't put myself in the situation how I'm going to feel at that point. I will just say I think the benchmark for Nick Sirianni is going to have to be not just win in the first round, but I think
at least the conference championship.
I think they're going to expect him to at least make the conference championship. And then I don't know. Like the way that this reporting is coming down is that they expect huge things from this team. And I mean, I know how he looks at this roster and he's very proud of it. And he looks at Vic Fangio and the coaching staff he assembled and he's very proud of it. I think it's going to be hard for them not to look at Nick Sirianni as the reason that they don't go deep into this postseason, if it comes down to that.
215-592-9494. Apologies, we're a little late for the break. Promise we'll get back to the phones in the next segment. But also, Kyle, as I mentioned, I've been on, you know, in this midday time slot all week, which has been great. It's been awesome to, you know, host, you know, during some daytime hours. Yeah. But because I don't usually work this shift, and you're always doing the shift, I have three takes about this particular time slot and the midday show in general.
Okay.
I need to run by you.
All right, can't wait.
And also, because a few of our callers have said it here in the first hour and a half in the show, a lot of them, it's their first call of the year. Maybe they're greeting us with Happy New Year. Kyle, we need to set the record straight as to when and when not you can say Happy New Year, because there's a hard deadline here, in my opinion.
Okay.
And we need to address that next.
Can't wait.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson and Kyle Quinn with you. Caleb Flieger is behind the glass. In for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas.
Slackers.
Kyle will be back producing the two of them on Monday. And Kyle, we got to get to a few orders of business here before we get back to the phone lines. Two things. Number one, so since you are going to be back with those guys on Monday, a number of callers have already called in today and wished Happy New Year. Now, really quick, before we get into any of this, if you had to say, you know, what do you think the statute of limitations on saying Happy New Year is? Like, what's the ruling here?
So,
and Caleb, if you want to get in on this, feel free.
I'm not in general, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a curmudgeon. I'm never a big, like, Merry Christmas guy.
Happy New Year guy.
I just, like, just, hey. See ya. Hope you're doing all right.
Doesn't matter if it's January 1st.
If I had to put, I guess, the limit on it, I would say you can't ever say it to a person twice, or like multiple times.
Okay,
it's the first time I've seen you.
But there's still got to be a limit, though. Because let's say I don't see a friend till June.
Right. Okay. I will give it, I'll say at most, like where it starts to feel weird is by week two after.
Okay. Like so you give it a week.
Yes,
you give it a week.
A week following, you know, if you haven't seen somebody within that time period, then it's like, how often do you see this person anyway? Right. Are they really that close?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or you don't. How often do you talk to this person, I should say, because you might not get to see everybody. But
of course,
if you're not talking to somebody for, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's a hard line for me. I think you just got to have a feel, man.
Caleb, how long are you saying Happy New Year in there?
It has to be, you have to give it at least a week. The first week
of
January.
1 week.
Exactly. Give it 7 days. Then after that, you're good. Because obviously in that first week, you're getting back to work. You're seeing people you haven't seen because of the holidays and that type of thing. So you have to say your Happy New Year's to those people. But after that first week, you got to cut it out. You can't keep doing it.
So I don't know about you guys, but when I have a moral dilemma, I turn to my hero, Larry David.
Oh, yeah. He's always got the answers.
He's got the answers to everything, right? He, when it comes to dealing with people.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He's got a certain way with people.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to solve all of our social dilemmas, right?
I guess you could say that. He knows how to start them, that's
for sure.
He knows
how to start them, that's for sure. So, this was from a Curb episode years ago. It is January 3rd, so we had to play this. This was from a Curb episode years ago on Larry David's rule of thumb, how long you can say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Why? Just happened a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's too long. Statute of limitations has kind of run out on the New Year's. 3 days. Plenty.
3 days.
By the way, everything doesn't have to be happy. Why does everything have to be happy?
Kyle, this is the last day you can say Happy New Year.
Wow.
So
you're giving it 2 days?
Well, 3 days.
Three.
3 days. Today's January 3rd, so get all your Happy New... If you haven't texted anyone, if you haven't seen anyone, make sure you get them in by midnight tonight.
Yeah.
You have a 72-hour window. By the time you... You know, if anyone Happy New Year's me on my overnight show coming up this weekend,
oh.
I'm hanging up on them.
Dump them. Yep.
And if anyone tries to Happy New Year you on the phone when they call in on Monday,
hang up.
I want you hanging up immediately. I don't care if it's a guest. I don't care.
If it's Seth, I'm not the one that's Seth.
Seth Joyner calls in. Hey, Happy New Year, man.
Seth will come kick my ass.
Go
dude.
To hell.
Yeah. I was already sweating when I heard him just ask you a question.
Yeah, he's going to start asking you up here. And if Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas,
yeah.
they try and wish the audience a Happy New Year, cut them off.
Yep.
They,
Rod will appreciate that if I'm cutting their mics off.
They missed their opportunity to do it by not working this week. If anyone says it on the air, they're dumped off. Today's the last day. Mm-hmm.
So, and this is going to sound like I don't have a take here. I do. I guess the way I would put it is that it should be a feel thing. I don't think setting a hard date for it is appropriate. I think...
I'll tell you why there's got to be a hard cutoff, right? Because again, Robbie and I were on the other day on New Year's Day, and we quickly tossed this back and forth.
Yep.
Rob, by the way, wants to give everyone the whole month, which I think is preposterous.
Yeah,
January 31st. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And people are like, well, you know, it's different. Have you seen the person yet? But there still needs to be a rule, because again, you know, I don't know. Like, if you don't see someone, there are people who you might only see during the summer,
sure.
or you might only see every once in a while.
That's preposterous.
If I don't see my neighbor till April, and I see them in April, I'm not going, hey, man, Happy New Year.
No.
So there still has to be there's got to be a last date for it.
Well, so here's the thing. I think the cutoff doesn't necessarily have to be a date. It has to be, think about in your mind, you know, when you went back to school, like you were talking about yesterday on January 1st, how long did it take you for you to stop forgetting to write 2025 on the top of your papers?
Within a week.
Okay. So I think that's the hard cutoff. Once
you start running 25.
Yeah, wait, once the new year
everyone did that, by the way.
For sure.
Yeah.
Once the new year is no longer like fresh in your mind, like where you have to remind yourself, oh yeah, it's 2025, that's when I think it's no longer appropriate. That's why, so it's hard for me to just put a date on it. I think it's a feel thing. Because today, just it being January 3rd, and I came in today at work, and I was accidentally dating stuff 24, because I'm just used to it.
It's your first day in 25.
Yeah, and like I'm still feeling like it is a new year. Like there is in the back of my head, I have that feel that this is a new year. So I think it'll be appropriate for today, you know, maybe tomorrow. Like just as soon as it's out of my head and that it's no longer at the top of my mind that we are like in a new year or the beginning of a new year, then no more.
Listen, some of us move on faster than others.
That's right.
I get it. In just a minute here, I will give you a couple of takes from working this week on the midday show. But first, we say a good morning to Steve in Marlton. Steve,
Happy New Year. Last day to get it out.
Happy New Year. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Doing well.
Yeah, no, I was calling about Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, I know a lot of talk about Saquon Barkley. And, I mean, yes, I'd like to see him do it. But, you know what? I get it. I care more about the Super Bowl and advancing the postseason. But if you go back to September, there's a reason we started 2-2. They did not play in the preseason, and we saw the effects of that. And then once everything, they got the bye week and injuries and whatever, they went to the owner or they went to the GM and the coach and talked about run the ball more, we adjusted. I don't want that to happen in the postseason. I need him to go out there, get a drive or two in. This is Jalen Hurts. I need him to go out there, get that drive or two in, and make sure he's okay for the postseason, because I don't want to go in with a 3-week bye and then it all goes to you know what, because he decided to sit for 3 weeks. And
Set a tone. You know what I envision? You know, everyone's all sitting here scared, right, that he's going to look rusty in that wild card round. You know what I'm picturing? Just everyone's expecting him to run the ball early, trying to establish Saquon after he rests here. You know, maybe we get a little bit of what happened on that famous Monday night with Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson. Just a bomb to A.J. Brown. Just a signal to the Packers and to the link, get everyone going. Like, we're back, we're ready to rock, and we showed up.
Well, I mean, I guess the downside to that is, and I'm going back to earlier this season, they didn't play at all in the preseason, and they were playing the Packers.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they took a deep shot, like, right away, and Jalen Hurts threw a pick.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know what, Kyle? They'll never see it coming twice.
That's true. If it doesn't work,
right. If it doesn't work, run it back.
So that's my big concern. I'm not willing to take that risk. So, I mean, if he's still in protocol, then that's it.
Yeah,
you know, we can't put him out there. I get it. But obviously they know more than we do. I don't know. I want him to be out there for at least a drive or two just to get back in the rhythm. I don't want his first drive to be against the Packers.
Yeah. And look, Steve, I'm not trying to, like, bring everybody down with this whole, like, I'm worried about this, worried about that. Like, we are entering the postseason. We're about to head into a very important month for the most important month of the entire season for the Eagles. And I just think it's worthwhile for all of us to sit here and besides just the usual, the Eagles, best team in football. Like, I love that. And I mostly agree with that. I think the Eagles are, you know, they have just as good of a shot as anybody to win the Super Bowl. But if I were, you know, on Detroit radio or Buffalo radio or even Chiefs radio, right, I would have to sort of think about everything that can go right and can go wrong. And I just, you know, this is the one thing that's sort of been staring me in the face. It's like that meme of the guy, like, creeping over his shoulder, and he's shaking and sweating because, like, it's just lingering there. And now with this buildup of 3 weeks where Jalen Hurts has not seen meaningful action in a football game, it's hard for me to just sit here and ignore the possibility of that biting us in the first round of the playoffs.
I agree 1,000%. So wanted to say that. And then two other things that you guys had mentioned just real quick. Daylight savings time, 1,000% agree. I hate dark.
I feel like everyone hates it.
Yeah.
Like, who's still in on daylight savings?
I don't know.
Yeah, we need to switch to that permanently. That way everybody's happy because the clocks never change again, but it's still dark out at 5:30 in the wintertime. Like, so there's that. And then the Flyers, yes. 4-for-4. Eagles my second. Flyers my top favorite. Oh, I want to stay on the Cup.
Love it.
Hey, Steve, quickly, what's something that's long overdue?
I'll go with a Flyers Stanley Cup.
Oh, no,
stolen. Taking Kyle's answer. Steve, we appreciate the call. I think there are a lot of people. Listen,
look, when you're right, you're right.
You know how you know it's getting long overdue? So the Stanley Cup, by the way, is by far the coolest trophy
awesome.
In sports.
Yep.
And they put all the names on it.
Yeah.
So I think in the year 2031, the Flyers are coming off because you have a...
Yes, yep.
You have like a...
There's only limited space.
There's only limited space. Now, the one in the Hall of Fame, they keep adding to that.
Okay.
But the Stanley Cup that actually gets handed out, I think it's 2031. You basically have like a 60 to 72 year run, and then every 12 years they got to add another layer.
You said next year it's coming off?
No, 2031.
Oh, 31. Oh.
I believe.
All right. You know what? Then they need to make that the mission. That seems it's a little far away. Hopefully it happens sooner than that, but they cannot allow – they need to be on there twice. The top and the bottom.
Because obviously they have 74, 75.
Yep.
Like Bernie Perrant's name's coming off the cup soon.
Yes. They can't allow that to happen. That'd be a disaster.
It'd be kind of nice if they could get themselves back in there. We stick our faith.
We need it, man.
In Jonesy. Let's get in JT and Langhorne, and then I'm going to give you my midday show takes. What's up, JT?
JT. Uh-oh. Let's put JT back on JT. Hold. We say good morning to Frankie in Horsham. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, how are you guys today?
What's up, Frankie?
Doing well.
Well, I was talking to the producer earlier and, while I'm waiting. And what I understand is, it's concussion protocol. But hasn't our quarterback spoken out, okay, on his opinion? Is he that oblivious of what's going on here?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand your question, Frankie.
Hasn't he spoken out on his opinion?
Well, no, he can't. I mean, he can't speak to the media. Oh, Jalen, no. Well, he's in concussion protocol, so he's not doing press conferences or anything.
I understand that, but can you tell me, guy, like Dan Marino or Joe Mantana or Joe Mantana?
Who?
Oh, Montana. And they give their opinion.
Oh, well.
I mean, fine. If they even can't play, I mean, okay, that's fine. And now the Eagles got to go with a rookie. And I don't be pessimistic about this. I don't think the Eagles are going to be agreed that.
Well, so, Frankie, I
appreciate the call.
Yeah, I think it's hard if you're Nick Sirianni to ask the quarterback who's not playing in the game. Like, if he's not cleared concussion protocol. It's not up to Jalen.
Okay, just on the Dan Marino, Joe Montana point, yeah. Concussion protocol in the year, 2025.
Yes, a bit different.
It's much different than when those guys played back then. Again, if you've never seen the movie Concussion, I highly recommend it. The NFL has a long history of not dealing with these things properly. Nope. It's not really up to the Eagles. Okay, I'm not a doctor. I just know that the league has a long history of...
Still a little shaky.
Football is a contact sport, and sometimes it involves blows to the head, right? Some doctors would probably tell you just don't play football, but rub some dirt on it. That's not the reality of the situation. It's not up to the Eagles. They have to comply with the concussion protocol of the league. Okay. Yeah, Jalen Hurts isn't going to comment on this. He might think he's fine. Like we were talking to from down the hall, KOW's Dave Uram before the show. Like the video of him and Saquon Barkley giving the golf carts was on Christmas Eve. So that's more than a week ago.
Yeah.
He was in concussion protocol at that point. Mm-hmm. So he can still, like, seemingly walk okay. Doesn't mean his decision-making is going to be good enough to play in an NFL game.
No, and we have no idea where he's at in the concussion protocol whatsoever.
Stage?
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure if this was Frankie's point, but he was talking about, I guess, should they have left it up to Jalen Hurts, or should he have had a say in it? I mean, if it doesn't look like he's going to play...
Yeah, he doesn't have to say in concussion protocol.
And also, that feels like something that's more of, Jalen Hurts is a part of the team, big part of the record and all that. That feels like more of, if you were going to elicit the opinion of people on the team, it's Saquon one, and then
the offensive line. I actually like, and I discussed this with Al yesterday, the Eagles, you got to be careful. When you take input from your players, or if you're running a business from your employees, not to make it so that the inmates are running the asylum, for lack of a better way of putting it, right?
Sure.
Like Nick Sirianni took the advice of his offensive line in week 5 of the bye to make this a more run-heavy offense. And that's the only reason Saquon Barkley's even in this position to begin with.
Yeah.
And whether it was his decision or the front office's, like you can hear their input, be like, we're going to weigh what everything has to say and still make a decision that contradicts that.
Yeah.
But if you just go with everything the players want you to do, they're competitors. They want to be out.
Sure.
I'm sure Jalen Hurts wants to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure these guys want to be out there. Any player with any lick of competitive juice is going to want to be out there every single time. It's why when Rob Thompson goes to the mound and Zach Wheeler's arm's about to fall off, he goes, no, I got one more for you, Skip.
Yeah.
And then Rob Thompson has to look his star in the eye and go, no, we'd rather... Matt Strom.
And be the adult in the room.
Be the adult in the room. Right. And this felt like a big boy decision. Mm-hmm. It felt like, listen, we listen to you sometimes. We value what you have to say. You're valued players here. But it doesn't mean we listen to you always. That's part of the reason I like this.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just sort of, the only thing that bothers me about it a little bit, if this were Sirianni saying, I'm going to be the adult in the room. I'm going to make the decision. I don't think you even go and ask Saquon his feelings on it. Then it just adds a whole element of...
Like, why'd you ask?
Yeah, why did you ask him if you weren't going to...
No, I think you only ask him if you really... If it actually weighed
in
at all.
If that was going to sway your opinion. And it clearly didn't. So it's
I don't fully agree with that. It could have. If you go ask Saquon, the entire offensive line, Stoutland, we don't know how they all voted behind closed doors. There's a chance it could have.
Yeah. But I also think putting it up to a team vote is not the way to do it either, because then you're sort of you're taking sides in the locker room almost, and you don't like
I don't think N'Kobe Dean should have had a vote here.
Well, sure, right. I guess
I'm not saying ask the whole locker room.
The people who it matters to.
Yeah.
But I think the best way for him to do it would have just been to not ask anybody and say, look, this is the decision I made. You have to respect it. I'm the head coach, as opposed to, you know, sort of doing some crowd work and figuring out what Saquon wants, what Mailata wants, what Lane wants, and then making your decision if you weren't really good. Because I think the number one person that should have had the decision or like the opinion is Saquon. And if he said, yeah, and it really seemed like he wanted to do it just based on how he looked when after we found out what the decision was, then I feel like you kind of have to defer to him a little bit. But
215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right, we'll get back to the phones in just a little bit here. But Kyle, I've been hosting this midday show all week on Tuesday with Al Morgani, on New Year's Eve, Wednesday, New Year's Day with Rob Ellis, Thursday with Al Morgani,
yep.
And now Friday hosting alongside you. And it's been a pleasure to fill in for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas. Love listening to those guys. And it's really a great time slot for someone like myself who hosts a lot of nights, weekends, coming in here and actually feeling like having like a normal like schedule that is parallel to what my friends are always doing, working like nine to five. Like,
yep.
I'm actually available at night or on the weekend. You know, it was kind of nice to do that for a week, live like a real life corporate job, and host here, you know, during the day. But it's what we do around here. Mm-hmm. I got takes about everything. So I have three takes. I actually added a fourth here during this segment.
I like it. Okay.
Four takes about the midday show that I need to chime in on.
All right.
Now,
I'm a little nervous.
And usually on Fridays, we actually have a sponsor for this segment.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Usually you guys would do Q&A. On Fridays, but today my midday show takes are sponsored by the Jug Handle Inn, award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug. All right, Kyle. So first off, we do some math here in the last break. We're not usually math guys, but I did run the numbers. Had someone tweeted us, I fact-checked it. And so you were asking, you guys made a bet, you and Joe,
yes,
that Hugh Douglas has to dye his beard green because he thinks defense is a luxury. Mm-hmm. If the Eagles, we're going to have to uncover some audio here at some point.
Mm.
Did you guys say if it's 17 points or less?
Yeah, 17. Okay. So if it were 17, that qualifies as him losing the bet.
Okay, so I absolutely think, this is my first take, that you and Joe should try and take him up on a bit of a technicality.
Mm.
And I think rounding down is perfectly acceptable in this case.
Okay.
So I ran the math. If the Eagles allow 0 points this week against the Giants, which
possible.
Is not that far-fetched, to be honest. I know it's the backups. Mm-hmm. The Eagles defense will finish the year, the regular season, with 17.04 points allowed.
That's a round down situation.
That's a round down type of situation. 17.04. If you look up NFL opponent points per game, they only do it to the 10th decimal.
One decimal, right.
So that would round down to 17.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's another thing. You could try and get them on a technicality.
Yeah.
Let's say they allow like a touchdown or something and it ends just 17.4, anything below 17.5. Mm. You could still try and get them on the round down
situation.
But in particular, if they allow like a touchdown or less in this game, we could be looking at a round down 17 points.
Yeah.
Also, the Eagles defense right now is third in points allowed. The only teams above them. So they currently have allowed 18.1 points per game through 16.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are at 18 flat. The Chargers at 17.6. I don't know. If the Eagles have the number one defense in the league in terms of points allowed, and you can round it down to 17, I think Hugh's got to dye the beard.
I think he does too. And here's what I'll say.
He's not Joe to camera.
Yeah, he won't weasel out. I will say this. It might not even have to come down to getting him on a technicality. Something Hugh and Joe and I do very often on this show is bully Hugh Douglas.
Okay, yeah.
So we might just be able to bully him into doing
anyway.
This anyway. Yeah, so we might not even need a technicality. It will go to the board and we will consider that. But we might just be able to razz him into doing it anyway.
It was a good over-under. Whoever said it, you or Joe, it was a good over-under. It was pretty close.
We nailed that line, man.
But so, yeah, you were coming in here today saying it's at 18.1.
Yeah, it's looking like it's over.
It looked like, no.
Yeah.
Don't say it's over yet.
It's not. Not until the fat lady sings.
Not until the
And if that's appropriate, still in 2025.
All right. So I got a couple more takes I'm going to run by you here before the break. Number one, or number two, I guess, after the Hugh thing. This is a weird thing for me. I know you're not going to agree with it. No one else is. But because we work a lot of weird hours in this industry, I do
overnights on the weekend. I work a lot of evenings here. I tend to stay up late and sleep in late, kind of like a college student's schedule. Yeah, I'm a night owl. Being a night owl, so you got to shift your, you know, your sleep schedule to whatever, shift you're working here. I actually have an easier time waking up when I'm filling in producing the morning show than I did for this shift. And I want to explain why. So for the morning show, you get here like 4 a.m. You got to get up around 3. It's basically a glorified nap. I'll stay up. Like during the summer, I filled in with them a lot. I stay up. I watch the Phillies game. I'll put something else on. I'm going to bed like midnight or 1. I can't go to bed earlier than like midnight or 1 a.m. And then it's like a glorified nap. So I just lay down for a couple hours and I come in. And it's like I've barely fallen asleep. That nap is good enough to get me through the show. I go back home. I go to bed. Getting up for this shift is... You know, I set the alarm for like 6:30, 7 a.m. this week.
Yep.
And that's enough where, and I'm going to be here for long enough, I'm not going back to sleep after the show. Okay. It felt like I was waking up for high school again.
So I guess I see where you're coming from, and I totally understand that if you're not in like a rhythm, right, if you're doing overnight one day and then morning show the next and stuff like that, it's super tough to get.
And I got into a rhythm this week, but it's like, wow, I'm getting up with the rest of people. Yes. The subway was packed. Maybe if I got used to it more.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like I did do the morning show helping out with Angelo and the crew for a while.
And I would fill in for you or Ava sometimes.
Correct.
Too. Yeah.
And that was a situation where, like you said, you're up at 3 or 4 in the morning. That, to me...
It's like you're just up late. Right, it doesn't even feel like the morning at that point. Yeah.
And you're right that everything good is on, you know, during the time that you might need to be catching up on sleep at night, the Phillies or, you know, whatever.
After
the
football
game. Yeah. But I will say one thing I never got used to within, like, my rhythm there... was your alarm waking you up at 3 or 4 in the morning. Like, that just always was jarring
to me. Never feels natural.
It always sucked. It's always dark out. Like, at least if I'm getting up here at 7 a.m. or something, like, there's light outside. And I'm like, okay, it's time to get up.
Because I don't fully understand, like, the science of sleep, but I guess if I had only been out for a couple of hours, like, the alarm goes off, I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Waking up, you know, these past couple of mornings, it's like... This is it, and I'm kind of slow.
You get used to it.
And you hit the snooze a couple times. I don't know. That was just because I had hit a deeper sleep. Okay. It was harder to get myself out of it. All right, number two. Because I was on with Seth Joyner yesterday. Me and Al had Seth Joyner on yesterday. Yep. He obviously asked us a question. The interview was, you know, like 15 minutes long. And at the end of the interview, I was like, thanks for coming on. I know it wasn't the usual host. And he thanked us for giving him a little bit more airtime than Joe and Hugh do. I think you got, and also, you guys used to have Al Morgani on the show a lot, and he mentioned he hasn't really been up to a lot.
Right, we need Al on more often. Man.
I think you got to let both Seth and Al cook a little bit more.
So, not up to me. I mean, I can
Listen, you're in those meetings, push it a little bit.
I can push for more Al on the show.
And a little bit more Seth time.
Yeah, but
got some good stuff out of him.
I'm passing the buck on the Seth thing. One, because I don't want him to come in and kick my ass.
Sure.
And two, like, that interview goes for as long as Joe and Hugh will allow it. So if I have my way, I'd like more Seth too. Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying I have audio proof. He appreciated the more time. And if you want to stay on his good side, that's how you get it. And then the last thing here, and this has just been, I've had the opportunity to produce I've produced at some point in my WIP career every single hour of the day. I've done overnights, mornings, middays, afternoons, evenings. And I have now hosted overnights, you know, afternoons last week, middays this week, Thanksgiving and Christmas morning. Like, I've now done almost every hour of the day hosting. I think the midday time slot produces the most locked-in callers on the station.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, in mornings, you're kind of building up the call volume a little bit more. People are getting up. Afternoons, maybe it's late in the day. People are going to happy hour, a little bit groggy, they're a little bit tired. Midday is like people are locked in, they're at work, they're on their lunch break, they got to be in and out fast, very efficient. Love the midday show callers.
And that took a lot of coaching and building. I'm looking at the board right now, a lot of regulars I'm seeing there, appreciate that. That's something that was not immediately the case when Joe, Hugh, and I were all
You're
new.
Saying Seltzer didn't train them well.
Well, no, I mean, like, look, they might have taken some of their callers
to the
morning show, right? Like, it's not a thing that...
But I think there's something about this time slot specifically. It's not even just the people.
Yes. And the only other thing I'll leave you with is that the 1 o'clock hour, 1 p.m. hour on the show...
is a little unhinged.
Crazy.
And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. So thank you to everyone who has called so far during the week and we see on hold right now. We got two more hours left to play. Kyle Quinn is going to take over in the driver's seat coming up next, where we're going to get into a little something that Dan Orlovsky said, and we're going to get into what really would make a successful season so far this in this Eagles year.